Welcome to the By George Very Merry Christmas Holiday Spectacular. Hosted by Brian and Chris.
And you know, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa.
Quasi Kwanzaa.
You know, to all of our listeners, this is kind of a thank you for supporting us so far.
Should we say this is like a non-denominational, like, happy holidays? Or do you want to say Merry Christmas? Well, I think we could say it all, right?
You know, I mean, there is really a war on Christmas right now.
I didn't hear about this.
Trump just declared that it's okay to say Merry Christmas again.
Finally. Like, so, it's been so long. Either way, today we're going to take a page out of the old Scrooge Christmas Carol book, and we're actually going to be visited by three ghosts. One ghost from, By George past, a ghost of By George present, and a ghost of By George future. I think what we should start with, though, what would make the most sense is By George present. So, Brian, did you kind of want to lead us off with that? Or
so, as the ghost is showing me around what's presently happening.
I love that bit.
Just want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing right now.
Who are we right now?
So, currently, By George is a podcast, the name of our podcast. We put out...
imagine they know, they're listening.
Quite a few episodes thus far.
What else do we do? We're a Twitter account. You know, you can easily just say, hey, we're a Twitter account. We're
at By George GMU. You can also find us on Instagram at @by_George. And you can also find us on our website at giantkiller.bygeorge.co.
That's what's currently happening.
I'm your guy that does the interviews and kind of does the behind-the-scenes stuff.
This guy's essentially the face of the franchise. Let's get real.
And Chris does all of... Well, I'm the face, but you do all of our...
I'm behind the scenes. But so you see a picture, you see something, a video, or
you're
whatever.
You're building all of our logos.
Yeah.
And this year, what's been a little bit different thus far is we've added a photographer.
Ron. #Ron.
We've added a writer.
#PetyBuckets.
Find him on Twitter. And both of those, both of them have elevated our game so much. So that's what's presently happening.
And I'm speaking of presently happening, they are presents to us. Right. I just want to say, like, we unwrap them, and these guys are giving us the gift of statistics and beautiful pictures.
Chris,
like,
why don't you let them know how much we pay these guys to help out By George and Giant Killer?
That's a big, fat, zippy. Nothing. They are working pro bono.
Right, and so... in the holiday season, you got to make sure you say thank you.
Right. And so we just want to show our thanks by essentially just saying thank you
cheers to that.
Okay. Cheers.
So that's present. We're at every game at this point. We're sitting down with Brad Edwards. You know, we're talking to Coach Paulson.
Oh, yeah.
And something we've added this year is we're doing post-game videos where we're breaking down what happened in the game. We're talking to players. We're talking in the press conferences. We're asking questions. And then we're putting out a 4 to 5 minute video kind of highlighting that game experience. Yeah. So that's something new that we're doing right now.
Yeah, so we've added a few new elements to our game this season. As you'll see every season, we're going to always constantly strive to get a little bit better. But let's take a visit with the ghost of Christmas, or I'm sorry, By George past. Where did we come from?
Chris and Brian, follow me down this dark path of your past.
I never knew if... I don't know what you're doing right now.
That was my best ghost impression.
That was bad.
So the past. Where do we come from? Where did we even meet? Let's give some people some background on who Brian and Chris are.
Okay, so where did we meet? We met through a mutual friend. We met actually out in Fairfax. Fairly close to the Mason campus.
Yeah, it was in Centerville. We actually were partying at O'Toole's, which is now RIP.
Sure. We met there, but we ended up actually just kind of living together at Covington near the Pan Am Shopping Center in Fairfax, which is like 5 miles off campus.
Covington.
And so what we decided to do, well, first of all, Brian was applying to George Mason.
I did the whole Nova to Mason route. I had already graduated Mason.
I had already lived through the Final Four experience. And so I was a massive basketball fan.
You've only been a fan for 2 years, Chris.
Whoa. No. I've been a fan since 2004. I really just wanted to recruit another basketball fan, and seeing that you were, you know, applying for Mason, I thought this is a perfect opportunity to get a guy that already loves basketball that's applying to Mason to become a George Mason basketball fan. It made sense. And so I think that was like 2010.
Nine or 10.
And we made the run. We had a really good team.
Hold on. So that first year, though, we were actually 17 and 15.
That was a loss to Fairfield in the whatever tournament that we played.
That was Luke Hancock, Sherrod Wright, their first year.
Their freshman
year,
correct.
We're going to get into a couple games from that era a little bit later in the show, so make sure you stay tuned. The friend that introduced us, though, is now married with a kid.
Okay, so that's not a story.
But if you think we're seeing that guy anymore, you're wrong. So now at this point, we're just friends.
We're talking to Ghost of Christmas, whatever. That guy's a ghost.
Right. So, you know, we were friends. So Chris had been graduated at this point. I'm just getting into Mason. So we would sit in the student section. We would go hard. In fact, I think at times you thought I was super weird because I would just scream at the opposing team. I would call them soft when they're inbounding off the baseline.
Yeah.
And they would actually look up at me.
I mean, look.
A couple times I thought they were going to come in and Ron Artest me.
We were doing our best attempt to do a Cameron Crazy experience in the very non-Cameron Crazy, you know, Mason, what are they called? The Gold Rush section. Whatever.
Patriot Platoon.
Patriot Platoon was not very platoony at the time that we were doing it, but either way, we were fortunate enough to experience an amazing season in 2010. And a
couple, even that bad year, we were still watching Luke Hancock like catch alley-oops as a freshman, Mike Moe, Ryan Pearson, Cam Long, Bertrell Vons, I think, was maybe even coming off the bench. I can't remember, but this is what I want to say. Okay. For those of you who think that your section goes extra hard,
hashtag 150,
17, 19, 30, whoever thinks they go ham,
okay.
Chris and I would go as hard as we possibly could.
Okay.
And so I want people to understand that. We were not going soft as fans. Now we sit at media row. We can't cheer.
We have to be quiet.
Like, we're dressing up a little bit more. But we were the guys, weren't wearing wigs, but we were the guys showing up and going as hard as we possibly could.
And so from By George Past, we ended up joining, though, experiencing a great season. And I think, like, for instance, for me, I was sort of bit whenever Mason went to the Final Four. That's sort of when you know.
And I was a fan, too, because I was going to Nova. Sure. I went to Lake Braddock, so I was following.
2010 got you, too. And yeah. So, like, you were in school for a year or two, and then you saw us make a run in the tournament. Granted, it wasn't a long run, but we beat Villanova. And that was an experience to say, like, look, you know, Mason basketball could be something great in the next few years. Obviously, we lost Coach L, and we got Paul Hewitt. It was actually kind of a pretty bad time to become a fan. So kudos to you for sticking along and doing this whole thing, but then we
lose out on that point guard who now plays in the NBA.
Yeah, that's Shane Larkin.
Right. And so, and kind of a side note, we're not going to go too far down this rabbit hole, but it's kind of funny because my dad watched the Ohio State game with us. And Chris, can you share a little bit about how that experience went?
Well, he pretty much walked into the room and said, well, I'm typically bad luck when we watch these types of games. I'm like, oh, Mr. Lawrence, feel free to just sit down, kick your feet up, and let's watch this win. And we started out, actually, I think
we had a lead early on the first, like, 7 minutes.
It was like, you know, 7-4 or something like that. And then there was, like, some, like, chatter between who is their big man, starts with last name with an S. I can't think.
Oh, Singleton, Singletary.
Something along those lines. But Pearson was chirping in his ear, and just suddenly Ohio State just popped off. And then the white kid, can't remember his name either, but he was there.
Kraft.
Kraft
went ham on.
Right. It felt like he was there for 10 years. They popped off. Either way, we got bounced early, and that was kind of the end of that run. But either way, the past brought us
here. Well,
hold on,
no, no. We're still in the past.
Okay, wow.
Where the
Someone's
past...
Someone's living in the past.
Well, because people need to know that eventually we did get tired of being rowdy fans.
Sure.
And it was like
the, you grow
and
up. It was like you're not 21
It was a
anymore.
Hewitt era. It's like hard to like root at that point. We were season tickets.
So let's stick in the past here. And with Hewitt, the first 2 years were tough to be a fan, but we were still winning 20-plus games. We were still, we had the Valentine's Day thriller. We beat UVA.
Ryan Pearson was player of the conference.
Right. You get a, yeah. So was it bad? Yeah, it got worse. Just like any form of cancer, you know, it's fine, and then you just eventually die.
It was a struggle to pay for season tickets those last 2 years of Hugh and Eric.
With nine wins, yeah.
So we were like, all right, F this. We're going to make a difference. We want to get people back into the seats.
What happened was the base, young alum, students, it's hard to go and root for a 9-win team. And so we just saw what was there and back in 2010 and hell, even in the final 4 years. And you look at it and you go, man, we had so much support. We had fans coming out. We had even social media buzz, but none of it was there. And so we just
You watch the VCU. You watch the Wichita State. You watch these other teams, Butlers.
Yeah. And they rose to the occasion and they took their opportunity and ran with it. Maybe we didn't, but either way, so what happened was we looked at each other and said, look, let's bring it back. Let's get something going. We couldn't really define what By George was back then, nor really can we right now.
Right.
But we just knew that we needed to get a little oomph in the fan base. And so, look, we're bringing some attention back to the team, the sport, everything.
And so when we first started, we had like 75 followers. No one was listening to our podcast. We didn't have credentials.
Still don't.
we were just like kind of going to games on our season tickets and interviewing players on Twitter. And all of a sudden Mason was like, you can't just come and interview players without asking us. And that's how we got credentialed. That's how we got our foot in the door. And ever since then, we're at 1,300 Twitter followers, 2,800 Instagram followers. We've had 3,000 downloads on our Kyer episodes. You know, we're starting to put out content.
Yeah, we have a team now. And so just from like, it just came from like a pretty organic thought of, hey, do you want to like maybe start like talking about Mason basketball? Like,
I didn't even listen to podcasts at the time. We were like,
nor do I still. Like, right. I'll listen to Serial or something, but
now we got microphones. Like, we bought a laptop for this.
Sure.
We got clip-on mics. We got handheld
mics.
But
essentially, it came from as simple as this: two guys that were watching the game from the stands, and we looked down and said, you know, do you ever just want to get on Media Row? And within a few months, we were. I was sitting courtside next to, you know, other photographers taking pictures, and you know, the ball would roll up to me. This was huge for me.
And so, are we idiots?
Yeah.
And are we kind of clowns?
Yeah.
But we're putting in our hard work all the time to bring you content that otherwise was not there.
I'm not a professional podcaster, photographer, sports columnist. None of us are. We have day jobs. This is kind of a hobby,
right?
But we really want to invest our time and energy in, and it's a blast, and we love it. So,
but Chris, you don't donate.
Oh no, I don't donate.
Yeah, well, start donating.
I'm donating my fucking time. Sorry, I mean, sorry, Santa. Oh, it's okay, Chris. You already got a lump of coal.
So, future. What's in our future? We're not too sure yet. We're still trying to identify the now,
yeah,
the
we're
present.
Just taking it by year.
But if you could get what you want in the future, Jones, out of By George, what is it? I mean, we're already credentialed to the A-10 tournaments. If we got to the March Madness, we would go.
Yeah, I got it. So I'm going to have to sort of tie a knot around us and the team, because last year was a blessing. I think we had our biggest year ever because we had a very successful team. We had a team that won 20 wins. So this year, I think we're still growing in terms of the product that we're pushing out. The team itself may not be making the same steps as we're taking steps. But what I really want to see next year specifically is a team that wins and growing interest. And I really want to see what we're doing perfected and just spread to a broader base. I think there's just going to be so much interest when we're winning. And I think next year we have the potential to put out a really good season with really good players. And there are going to be a lot of eyes and a lot of attention on the team. And that's when we have to deliver.
And you can already kind of see that we gave ourselves a challenge in this out-of-conference schedule. Of course, yeah, we played some duds, but we also played a Louisville,
a Penn State,
a Georgia Southern,
a Penn State.
I mean,
and sure, we got obliterated.
And we're going to, but I think this is just, it's kind of a sign for what's to come. So what do I want to see out of By George next year and going forward this year? I want to see a more crisp product. I want to hear the sound a little bit better, the image a little bit better, us focusing and getting grounded on getting students to come back out to games. That's something that we set out to do, and that we haven't done a very good job yet.
We want to fill those seats, and it's hard. It's like, you know, we're not paid by Mason. You know, we don't have the same resources as Mason to put on a promotional advertisement. We can't have, you know, massive giveaways, because if we do give stuff away, it's through, you know, our own cash, hence Brian. But here's the thing, though.
And we do have some donators. So if you are interested in donating, reach out to me at 703-582-7851. We'd love to take your cash. There's plenty of things that we still need to buy. Plus, we're putting out shirts. We're putting out shot glasses. You know, we are being creative. It's just, do we spend the money while Chris is getting married, while I have a baby on the way? Like, there's a lot of shit going on in our lives. Can we continue to give to Mason basketball? I think in the future, the answer is yes, but
yeah, but
we'll see.
But the thing is, I think we want to have a crisp product. We want to put bodies in the seats. We want to do everything that Mason, you know, the PR department or the athletic department, you know, necessarily wasn't doing at the time whenever we started this. So we wanted to give a little oomph to them, and we've noticed that they've kind of taken some of our themes and kind of run with them, and that's good. That's fine. I mean, if they want to sort of mimic some of the things that we're doing,
and that's why we're getting into video.
It's fine.
You know, we're trying to take it to that next level. So that's the future. I think video, putting out better podcasts that aren't so time specific, talking about individual games and just kind of, you know, making you laugh again. I think from season one to season two of By George, we kind of lost our funniness, and that's something that we've recognized. So
you never were funny.
That was the Christmas present, past, and future.
Yeah.
But what we want to get into now is
what? I'm a little lost myself.
All December long, I've been watching Christmas movies.
Oh. Okay.
And so I think that's something that we need to get involved in the conversation I think everyone else is too.
I think let's talk about Christmas. All right. So when you become an adult, aka past the age of 25, what does Christmas mean? You're essentially around family. Everyone's drinking heavily, having a good time. And yeah, you put on these classic films that you watched since you were a child. You've seen them 40 times.
Whether that be Christmas Vacation,
Home Alone,
or Christmas Story,
Santa Claus, whatever.
Even Elf is becoming like that kind of Christmas classic at this point.
But what I'm starting to notice, and while I'm drinking, by the way, is when you're watching these films for the 40th time, you start to notice things that you never noticed before. Home Alone is insane.
And it's got to be on the top, like, three of everybody's Christmas movie list.
It's my favorite. I mean, but Home Alone 2 is weird. You know, like, Kevin goes to New York, decides to, like, live it up. He goes to the top of the Twin Towers.
And how does that remind me again? He gets on a different flight.
Yeah, he gets split up because he's trying to put batteries into his talk boy. Suddenly, there's another guy walking by that has the same jacket as Mr. McAllister. Also, by the way, the McAllisters are loaded. Like, let's not lie. They have a massive house in the suburbs of Chicago. They have enough money to fly the entire family first class out to Paris and then the next year to Miami. They have a brother that lives in New York who's out in Paris, but getting his home renovated in Manhattan, lives blocks away from Central Park. So the McAllisters are loaded. And also, they have a credit card that Kevin McAllister could actually put enough money on to get a hotel room next to Central Park during the holidays and can get a suite, and no one raises any sort of questions. Like, wow. Like, what is
so we're
what
diving into Home Alone
do?
2 right now.
We're going into both Home Alones. Okay. I'm just saying that they are loaded.
So what flaws have you found in watching it as an adult? Because it's clearly different than watching it as a child.
Sure. So the sticky bandits, or the wet bandits, whatever you want to call them. The wet bandits, all right, so Kevin's there. You're obsessed with this home, but all the homes on the block are the same. When you notice that Kevin's there, move to another house. You put your head through the doggy door. You get shot by a gun. Move on. Get out of there. The kid could call the cops at any time. Why are you struggling through putting your foot through a nail, getting an iron put through your face and stepping on Christmas ornaments and blowtorch to the head and your hands burn?
And when you're a kid, you just think all this shit's
funny.
You're
like, ha, ha, ha. I'm to myself now, I'm like, get the hell out of there. Right. This kid is killing you. And if I'm Kevin, I stay with that gun nonstop. I don't let that gun go. These are criminals coming through your doors. I'm cocking that thing up and blowing them away. And also, if I'm the criminals, I say, F it. Let's not do it tonight. Let's go buy a gun and shoot Kevin. And you don't have Home Alone 2, but I'm just saying, you rob the house.
Or 3 or 4.
You get what you want. Now, with Home Alone 2, there's like a signature problem. Kevin checks into a hotel room by himself. I'm not sure how easy that is. He used a talk boy, but he gets a room.
Do you remember the talk boys?
Yeah, I owned one.
And the Zap-Its or whatever those things are called.
I don't know about the Zap-Its.
You can change your voice.
But my thing was, they're like the chief like bellhop guy was really suspicious of Kevin, right? And so then that was played by Tim Curry, the original It clown. Yeah. Okay. So there's a scene where Tim Curry knocks on the door. He goes, "Housekeeping." Doesn't hear anything, gets a key, unlocks a 7-year-old's door to his hotel room, hears a shower running, decides to creep over to the shower to peek in on a 7-year-old showering, and he watches for 30 seconds and listens to Frank's monologue that Kevin records earlier. Also, by the way, Frank was showering with the door open and the shower open. What is a creep doing? Either way, so Kevin records that little sing-along or whatever and has the clown inflatable that he must have blew up in like 30 seconds. So many flaws in this film, but either way, why is that guy creeping on a 7-year-old kid?
Well, he didn't know he was 7.
He did. He saw him check in and he said, keep an eye on that kid. Also, Donald Trump met them in the lobby. Like, that was a weird thing. Like, our president.
That's a good point.
Right. And so it's just the whole movie's like weird. Everything from the pigeon lady. Like, is she like real or is she like a figment of like some
and
sort of
what's the
spirit?
Chances that he runs into the same burglars 2 movies in a row? They could have put in like new burglars. It couldn't have been like a new bit. It was like the exact same bit.
He literally bumps into them on the street. And there's what? 20 million people that live in New York?
Right.
So, sorry. I had to unload on that because, you know. And then don't even get me started on Home Alone 3, the Russian mafia or whatever that's trying to get the RC car from the kid that kind of looks like Kevin. And they have a mom that's a redhead, but not.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Was there not a Home Alone 4 with a Smith son? Or am I just off base on that?
You're going way too far ahead. Like, I have not gone that far. But either
so
way.
So needless to say, Home Alone's classics, 1 and 2, worth watching pretty much every single December. But I want to talk about some new movies that have come out because I think that people always settle in on watching the classics. But recently, for the 2nd year in a row, I've watched The Night Before.
Oh, and the Seth Rogen film.
So Seth Rogen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
One of the guys is from like the black guy is...
He's from the Marvel series. Right. Right. And then you have the other...
He was in 500 Days of Summer. Or 500 yeah. Days of whatever. I forget his name.
Yeah. The guy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Right. And so they basically have a tradition. The guy's parents die in a car accident, I believe. And so his friends kind of come in and give him that kind of Christmas spirit.
To help him forget about it.
The day before Christmas to help him forget about it. So they go on this crazy adventure that they do the same thing they do every single year. But this year is different because they got party tickets to what I believe
is... elite, exclusive
party. Right, that they have
Christmas
to go
party.
Through a convenience store to get to the party. I believe it's called a Nutcracker Ball. And the party just pops out of control. But it's just great because like Seth Rogen's wife gives him all sorts of drugs.
It's insane. It's the fat chick from Workaholics. That's probably not PC, but she's chubby. Either way, she gives him like a shit ton of drugs.
Mushrooms, cocaine, pills. So yeah. The whole movie is just like him tripping out of control.
Which is amazing, by the way. That's funny.
Just, yeah, and this is Christmas. So like not every movie do you get to watch... You know,
but then there's also like that other guy that they blaze with who's the guy that they see.
Well, he's in Boardwalk Empire. I forget his name.
That guy's awesome. Yeah. He's like an up and coming actor.
Yeah. And so The movie's just classic. Another one I want to get to, it's a little bit older, but The Holiday with Drew Barrymore and Jack Black. Drew Barrymore and Kate Winslet, they swap houses from somewhere in Europe to L.A. They both meet men. They both tag. It's just kind of like a warm and fuzzy holiday movie that actually has some good comedy. So if you haven't seen The Holiday, if you haven't seen The Night Before, make sure you check those
and
out.
All right. And then another thing just before, while we're still talking about Christmas films, you know, a lot of chicks will say, like, Love Actually. And guys are like, well, Love Actually is a pretty good movie. Like, let's get real. Like, Love Actually is a pretty good film. And it's like all these little miniature storylines. They all connect at the end or whatever. But it's sweet. I like it. But another holiday film that people are still debating on. And
I watched. Fifth Element?
No. Oh. But you're on the right track with Bruce Willis. It's Die Hard.
Oh, wait.
Fifth Element? What the hell are you talking about? Die Hard is a Christmas classic. Oh, it's set in Christmas. There's Christmas themes throughout the entire film. When people say that it's not a Christmas film, like, I just watched it over this very last Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. And actually, after Die Hard, we went right into Die Hard 2, which is set in Dulles Airport during the holidays again, Christmas. These are Christmas movies. Like, if it's based in Christmas, it doesn't always have to be about Santa. It could be about, you know, yippee-ki-yay and shooting up some, like, terrorists from Europe.
Speaking of which, I'm watching Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3.
Also, it does not stand the test of time. The CGI looks bad.
It does. It does. So that's pretty much all we have for our Christmas movie segment. We will be right back.
Thanks very much. Well, when I was a kid, this time of year always made me feel a little left out because in school there were so many Christmas songs, and all us Jewish kids had was the song Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel. And so I wrote a brand new Hanukkah song for you Jewish kids to sing, and I hope you like it. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much funukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have 8 crazy nights. But when you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish. Just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do Kirk Douglas, James Caan, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish and Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonica celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Welcome back to a By George Very Merry Christmas Holiday Non, you know,
denominational
Christmas special.
We happy holidays. I don't know if you saw our picture that Chris made for the holidays, but it was actually Gonar Mar going up for a layup, but Chris put a present over the ball, so he's going to score a layup, shooting a basket with a Santa face over Gonar Mar. Mar retweeted it. A lot of people liked it. I thought the shit was awesome, so I want to give Chris a little round of applause for this year's By George Christmas card.
Right, and I actually made it while a drink was being made for me. Someone was trying to make me like this new version of a White Russian, and it took forever, and I was just sitting on my phone. I was like, let me just see if I can make a little Christmas card out of this, and it worked out. I mean, it looks kind of dumb, but I mean, I actually kind of got me psyched for the holidays.
So Chris, where were you for the holidays? Let's give people a little, because we weren't at that last game, okay. So where were we?
I was down in Dallas, Texas, and so you know, we were actually staying in Lakewood. I don't know if people know where that is, but it's sort of near Highland Park. Got to see some really good high school football while I was down there. It was like the most quintessential Texas thing I could have done.
So tell me a little bit about that, because that's something that I've always been intrigued with, is just that Southern high school football vibe, especially in towns that don't necessarily have professional sports and things like that.
Right. And so there's this like little bubble outside of Dallas where Jerry Jones lives, a ton of like oil tycoons. It's called Highland Park. It's very wealthy, probably the wealthiest little bubble of, you know, anywhere in like the United States. So they have a high school team. It's a ton of just, it's not even a ton. It's 100% white kids that are just like rich little white boys, you know? And so,
well, not all little, right?
No, yeah, there are actually some big kids, but either way.
Because it's that Texas blood.
Right.
Like those corn fed, probably pushing hay.
Sure. And so like, I was like, okay, these kids are wimps, but they made it to the championship, the state championship. And so they were playing actually a team called Manville, just outside of Houston, which was like a little bit more like,
you don't need to sugarcoat it.
I don't have to.
It was a bunch of black kids.
Sure. And so you
it
had
was a classic Floyd Mayweather versus,
you can't even name Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor. It was your classic Duke versus UNLV. It was your classic white.
It's UNLV.
Yeah, it was okay, Christian Leitner.
Sure.
Okay. Classic white versus black. Tell it like it is.
But it's not even so much that. It was more of like the, it's really wealthy versus like pretty much poor. So you had a, you know, that little storyline going. And so like we drove through the Highland Park neighborhood and I was like, man, you know, I'm interested to see these kids. And so we went to the game and we watched Highland Park go essentially tit for tat versus, you know, this team Manville. And so it's like a, you know, a pretty high scoring game. It stays pretty much a 10-point separation the entire game, you know, in favor of Manville, the non-white team, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And so it's funny. So the son or actually, sorry, the grand. What is it? The grandson? Yeah, the grandson of Jerry Jones is actually the quarterback for Highland Park.
It's got to be pretty wild to be like Jerry Jones's grandson.
Yeah, he's got some like actual offers from like Arkansas and Texas Tech. So he actually leads him down the field. They score a touchdown. They're down by three. They kick an onside kick, recover it, score another touchdown. And so with 34 seconds left on the clock, Manville marches down the field. They get to the 1 yard line and time expires. It's the greatest game I've ever seen in any sport. It's like 52-49 is like the final score or whatever. It was amazing. They were just going tit for tat the entire game. I mean, Highland Park would have like a methodic, like, you know, they would drive down the field 10 plays, score a touchdown, and then like on that, you know, that incoming kickoff, Manville would just like run it back for a touchdown. Like the white boys could not cover them, or the corners were just getting burned. And they would just score easily. But it was a fantastic game.
So what I'm getting from this is the most fun that you had when you were in Dallas actually came watching a high school football game? Or was there other kind of highlights of your trip as well?
No, there are other positives. Like I saw Star Wars and I saw it like at a theater that you can eat at and everything. And I had fun going to the the Dallas Arboretum. And
so real quick, and not to get too far into Star Wars, no spoilers or anything, but give us your quick rating. I'm seeing it tomorrow. So don't spoil anything for
me.
Sure.
But I'll give it a 6.5 to 7.
Whoa.
It's good. I liked it. But are there points where I'm like, come on. Like, really?
Like, it's kind of slow at times?
It's not slow, but sometimes I'm like, really? Like, really?
And that's at this point. It's not a Christmas movie per se, but like, it comes out in December. It's like a tradition that families have to go see it around Christmas.
Sure. And so I'm just like, at times, it didn't feel like a true Star Wars film, I guess. And then, you know, there's this, like, random scene where Leia's, like, Mary Poppins flying through space. It's kind of dumb. I was like, whoa. But if anybody knows what I'm talking about. And then, like, also, Finn doesn't even really have a big part. He's, like, nothing. And, you know, Snoke and that whole thing just wraps up rather quickly. It's just, like, I don't know.
Right,
I liked it.
6.5 out of 10. Nothing great, but they can't kill it
good.
Every
it's
single
good. It's good. It's
movie
good.
In the series.
But I just really liked Force Awakens. I liked Rogue One.
obviously my favorite is Empire Strikes Back. It's just, you know, I heard going in that reviews were saying like it's on par with Empire Strikes Back.
So
no,
real quick, is it not expectation that kind of ruins the films for you at this point? Everyone else talking about it, no, all the hype, the way the trailers are released. Does that not set you up?
I was able to like at least form a little bubble around me. I didn't go to social media. I didn't see a lot of reviews. I was able to sort of go in not knowing anything. So I had heard that it was good, though. That's all I had heard.
So I'm going to completely not listen to you, and I'm going to go into the film completely raw, excited to watch
you
another
Star
Wars movie.
You can say that, but it's in the back
movie.
Of your mind. You know what I said. Right. You're not going to just, you know.
I'm going to try.
Okay, well, keep trying.
So I, myself, went down to the Outer Banks.
No one asked.
It was like 63 degrees. I was on the beach playing like, you know, different beach games, Can Jam, other stuff. My Christmas was awesome. Let's talk about our favorite present this year, and then also maybe one of those presents that you'll never forget in your past.
So my favorite gift this year, probably, and it sounds kind of dumb, but, and I'm holding them right now and I'm looking at them, but the iPod Airbuds, not to get confused with Air Bud, the movie starring a golden retriever that can play basketball and dunk a ball, but these are the actual Air Buds where you saw the commercials with the down, diddy, down, diddy, down, diddy, down, diddy, down.
And at first, I have to admit, you were a hater of this product.
Because, well, all right, so my original thought was, these are going to fall out of your ear, you're going to lose them, and it's going to be a waste of $150, and it probably sounds just like the normal earbuds. Wrong. They stick in your ear. They're very comfortable. It's amazing that there are no cords. The sound quality is exceptional, and it just looks cool, and it's, like, magnetic, and it's an amazing gift. I'm just blown away.
And they are rather expensive, so whoever did give you that gift really must love you. This year, I would say that I put a lot of podcast stuff on the list.
We're actually using one of your gifts right now.
We got a pop screen because, and you'll probably hear in this episode, we keep popping. Chris actually doesn't have a pop screen. Hopefully we will hear soon, and it will sound a little bit better, but that's what we were talking to you about in our Christmas future, that we're trying to refine our skill sets a little bit, so it just means getting new product. So on my Christmas list, everything was pretty much podcast related, and I love it. So, but going back to my past, I remember the day I got my first color TV. So for you youngins,
listening. Stop, time out. Are you 74 years old? Who gets a color TV and that's like a big thing?
Growing?
You did not have a black and white TV.
I had a black and white TV with an antenna. I had to focus that.
You are dated AF right now.
I had to focus that joint. In my room, I had to like go up. There's a little dial where you could like, you know, kind of get the grays a little bit more clear.
Can you remind us of your age?
I am 30.
That is remarkable at the age of 30. Like, 45-year-olds didn't have to deal with black and white TVs.
You know, when you grow up broke, you got some black and white TVs still.
You lived in Burke.
but I swear to God, I remember. I went from black and white to a tube color TV with a VHS player attached to it. And I felt like I was the man.
The VHS combo?
Right. And you know what I was doing? I was trying to record like the sprinkly Skinamax that you would get. Like I'm trying to, I put my blank VHS in there.
I'm
pressing record.
You're explaining, I guess, you know, essentially I'm the master of that. Actually have three tapes next to my bed right now.
Bring them over. I still have my TV. We'll plug it in and we'll
this is entering a weird zone.
Christmas time, baby. It's
but
Christmas.
Either way, I would record the same thing and I still have it.
So that was my probably like, you know, as a kid.
I'm gonna sound way more white privileged, so hashtag white privilege. You know, not that I don't encourage it, but I'm just saying that I was a product of it, I guess. But my favorite gift was a PlayStation 2, which is very much more relevant to my age group. But you couldn't find a PS2 the year I was looking for one. I don't know what year that was, 2002, 2003, 2004, whatever. But I had a relative find one in Texas and overnight it to our house on Christmas Eve. And my parents like hid one in my bathroom, and they gave me like a series of clues, and I ended up getting a PS2 with Madden and SSX.
Ooh, so that was
a tight Christmas, because I was playing with, you know, I'm trying to think of what the Redskin team would have been back then. But I know it was like the Kurt Warner time. I think on the demo disc, it was like Rams versus Titans.
That was probably Mark Brunell, Santana Moss.
Oh, Santana Moss was eating.
So, you know, that kind of brings me back to, do you remember Tickle Me Elmo and how crazy it was to find that? My mom,
no.
You don't remember?
I mean, I remember Tickle Me Elmo, but I was not in, like, it wasn't.
So my mom randomly asked for it for no reason. She probably did not tickle that bitch like more than two times.
Well, your mom was probably about 60 years old, nor should she be playing with Sesame Street toys.
So I remember my brother and I, we went out, we looked over like 7 different Targets, all over different malls, couldn't find it anywhere. Eventually we found it like stashed behind something. So excited. She opens it, ecstatic, didn't touch it ever again. This year, I want to get your opinion on white elephant parties, because I opened up a Sega.
Oh, tight.
You know, the new
Sega Genesis?
Yeah, the new ones.
Or are you talking about the NES?
No, the new Sega. It's like the NES, now they're just redropping all systems.
Sure.
It's super small. It's about 3 inches by 3 inches. But
you know
something
about that.
I have a little funny story to go along with it. So I got whatever reason, I'm still very much intertwined with my ex-girlfriend. Now, it's been
a while since, because you're married and expecting a new child.
So we were at the same party. My friend Jamal and Erica, they throw this white elephant party every year. I open a Sega Genesis, 80 games included, 2 controllers. It also has a spot for cartridges, and I got a bunch of games just chilling on my couch. I'm ready to play. Aladdin, Ninja Turtles, all sorts of games.
Sonic.
Right.
Sonic 2.
Sonic and Knuckles. So, and that one was cool. Well, whatever. So, I opened it. My ex-girlfriend steals it from me.
Ooh, savage!
Who does that?
She would. She's your ex.
She grabbed my box.
What'd she grab?
She grabbed my box, and she looked at it. She's like, oh, it has all these games, and her husband, or this new guy, he's fine. He was like, yeah, I want that. They steal it. So I go to my wife, and she's later on. She's like number 19, well late. And I'm like, if that Sega is still around by the time you pick, you better take it, or you're going to walk your ass from Centerville to Logan Circle.
Well, that's a bit of a walk for a pregnant woman.
So no one stole it, because there is a rule. If it's stolen twice, it's locked. So no one stole it. By the time Alex came back up, she took it back. And now we're playing.
Do you have it?
Yeah, we're playing Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so I'm going to say right now, shut this down. Let's go play Sega.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't mind.
But this takes me back.
Did you do any white elephant gifts this year? Is that something that you're into? We don't ever, as our friend group, we don't ever really host those type of parties.
Yeah, we should. And by the way, black elephants matter too. I'm just, that's a bit. But no, I would. They're typically fun, but they are frustrating when you have a scenario like that. I've been a part of a white elephant party where you're just kind of like, I kind of wanted that, and someone just takes it, and you're like, okay, well, is this really the spirit of Christmas anymore? Like,
right.
Someone taking your gift?
Right.
So, yeah, I've done it. Do I like it? No, not when you lose.
That's why you better have your wife there. Willing to do what you tell her. And some people...
Hashtag me too? Like, do we have to hit all the hashtags this year?
So it's kind of funny because, you know, like some white elephant parties, they have a rule. They're like, couples cannot work together. This party has not figured that out yet. Needless to say, I left home with the Sega. I'm playing it all the time. I love it.
Also, how expensive is that? What was your...
It was a $40 price cap. So it's not just like some cheap present. Like Alex and I have to bring...
I thought the Sega would have been like 80 bucks.
No, it was pretty cheap. And the games on it kind of suck.
Right, I mean, they're going to
die. And you can't save them. So you're just playing Sonic, and you're just like, if you die, you're done.
So do you get NHL Faceoff 95?
No sports games.
That's the best one.
Right, so I mean, like, it's all like, you're...
When you get to play with, like, the Red Wings with Dino Cicerelli.
Wow!
But I do have... Scott Stevens on the Devils.
I do have NHL. It's in storage. I'm going to go get all my games, and you best believe that I'm going to be playing some old school Madden 05.
The one where you have two plays, it's pretty much Hail Mary or like a go route.
You're like an H, like a HB dive.
And then you just have like John Madden giving you tips. Here's a play you should pick. And it's like, it's like, yeah, I know. There's two plays.
It's one step up from Tecmo Bowl. But right. It's a fun game. Right. So that's our favorite presents that we got this year and in our past. I think that kind of rounds out our holiday, very merry Christmas special.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we leave here?
No, just that I really have to go to the bathroom and pump out a Yule log, if you know what I mean.
So, guys, thank you so much. As we enter the new year, we want to make sure that you understand, without your support and your hate and calling us a clown, calling us great, giving us the positive and negative feedback, we wouldn't even continue this. Because if you weren't listening, you know, what's the point?
We're just actually talking. I think we'd still do it even if they weren't listening.
But why even talking to a microphone? Then we could just go back to the days of kicking it in Roslyn on your deck, feet up, just chatting about Mason basketball.
Right. That's kind of what we're doing. We just put microphones in front of us. I don't care if people listen, but, you know, maybe you do.
Well, that's the main reason we're doing this. So I want to thank you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Just for kind of, you know, giving us the confidence to continue on. And to our haters, we're saying, ho, ho, ho.
What? Is that supposed to be Santa?
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. And happy holidays from By George. Shoot for two, 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 four.